We've been doing a little study, kind of on perilous times, and kind of branched out of it a little bit. But tonight we're kind of still in that same thought, you know, gathering some thoughts from the end days, and we read a couple of scriptures, I think, a couple of weeks ago, particularly out of 2 Timothy. We read in chapter 3 where this know also in the last times, perilous times shall come in the last days. And we read some scriptures concerning that. Well, I want to jump down to verse 5 tonight. And this is kind of what I'm going to preach on. Chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. And I just want to use this as a text tonight. Just one verse. That's all I'm going to use as a text tonight. Just one verse. But man, this verse is loaded. I'm going to tell you, this verse is loaded with stuff. So, but this is part of the end days or the perilous times soup. You know, there's kind of a big mixture of things in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that's kind of like a soup, if you will, lots of ingredients, lots of things concerning that makes the times perilous that we live in. And this is part of that mixture or that soup, if you will, this particular verse. And I don't know that I've ever singled this verse out to preach on by itself. I know I've preached through it, through this chapter, and have hit on this, but I don't think I've ever just singled it out. But tonight, the Lord has put it upon my heart in a pretty strong way, this to single it out. So we'll read this, we'll pray. But remember, this is all part. You got to have it in context, because if you don't, you know, you could just apply this to anything. But this was according back to verse 1. In the last days, know this, that perilous times will come. And, of course, it went on to say, men shall be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, da-da-da-da-da, covenant breakers. And verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for our time together. We just open ourselves up now to your guidance, to your move, to your spirit, Lord. Lord, that you would touch, that you would anoint, that you would just flow in a great and powerful way. And just use this text tonight. Teach us, instruct us, encourage us here tonight, dear God. Encourage us in your spirit. Encourage us in your way. Encourage us in the gospel tonight, dear God. Inform our faith, inform our soul tonight. And help us in our walk in these days, for we all will agree with Scripture tonight, Lord. We know these are perilous times. These are dangerous. Our faith, our life, our families, our livelihood as Christians, dear God. So we look to you even tonight, Lord, that you'll fortify through this word tonight. Give us what we need from it, and we'll be sure and quick, Lord, to give you glory, honor, and praise, for we know everything good is you. And we praise you for it. In the name of Christ, our coming King, our soon coming King, in his wonderful name, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all church agree and say, amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord tonight. Let's bless his name. Amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. I feel like tonight, let me read this one more time. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I feel like this is a very descriptive or a description of my personal, and maybe yours too. You can weigh in here in a minute, but I feel like this is very descriptive of my personal religious upbringing. I do. I feel like this would just about identify me as of my childhood and even my young adult life. This would kind of, you know, I was encouraged a lot as a child, and even as a teen, and then as a young adult. I was encouraged to be a part of the system. And when I say the system, I'm talking about the church or religious functions or to come be a part of this or be a part. I was encouraged to be a part of a form of God, a form of Christ, a form. You know, people want me to do better. You know, a lot of times people would encourage me. They could tell I needed to do better, and they would encourage me a lot in the religion. They would encourage me a lot. You know, you need to go to church with me Sunday. And we do that a lot, don't we? Don't Don't we do that? We tell our friends, our neighbors, you need to come to church. And we, you know, maybe we just got good intentions and nothing at all, but maybe we see in their life, man, they need help. And we encourage them to be a part of, and that's what really, you're a part of the form, part of the system, a part of or some things of God. They need some part of God, you know. But also, that was my childhood. That was my young adult life. That was, you know, up till you know, a certain, up till I got saved, really. You know, I'm sure there was folk encouraged me to be a part. But then also, I look back in the second part of that verse. The second part of that verse was also a part of my upbringing. Because a lot of the same folk, or even a lot of the those around me that encouraged me to be a part of this form, they were also teaching me really about denying the power. Denying the power. Encouraged me into one aspect of it, but yet a lot of them was really teaching me even to deny the power. I don't know if you had that kind of upbringing. I don't know if you had friends or maybe even family. I had family. Some of you in here probably, you know, I know you was raised in spirit fueled families, and maybe that wasn't, but I bet you there was a culture, or there was a school system, or there was friends, or there was some kind of part of your life that was trying to teach you really that's not right. Spirituality and the power and that old tongue stuff, or that old gift stuff, or signs, or wonder, or a move of God, ever what you want to call it. The Bible calls it charismata. You know, that kind of covers it all. That covers about everything. That's a Greek word, and if I had my Greek lady here, she'd say it prettier than me. But that's kind of the word that kind of covers it all. You know, it kind of covers every aspect of God's moving and what he brings to a believer's life. He brings charismata or whatever. And actually, this word here, you'll be familiar that. That they would encourage to be a part of, but they would deny this power. And that word power is the same word, and I'm sure you're familiar with this word, because if you've been in a Pentecostal church, you've heard the word power preached enough, and you know that it comes from the word dunamis. If you've been in any Pentecostal church ever in your life, you heard dunamis or dynamite. Before we get our word dynamite, you've all heard that if you're Pentecostal at all. And we were taught. I was taught by culture and by my neighborhood and by those around me, even a lot of my family, that, you know, that we believe in this form and this system, but we do not believe in this dunamis stuff. We do not believe in the charismata. We do not believe in any kind of move. Now, we want you to get your life straightened out, but, you know, you do it the best way you can without the dunamis. You get your life straightened out without any kind of move of God, because we don't believe in the supernatural. We don't believe in him moving like that. Not that they didn't believe that he had moved like that. Because they couldn't really not believe that, because the Bible was so full of him moving in that realm, but they didn't believe it was for now. That's the hour we live in, by the way. Nothing's quite as divisive or stirring than you can when you get someone who does believe and somebody who don't believe in this thing dunamis, this charismata. You can stir up a good fight. The two camps, there's those that believe, you know, believe that it's going on. That believes the spirit and the power thereof, the dunamis, the gifts, is still continuing. And then there's those who believe that it has just stopped. That somewhere around the, most believe somewhere around the death of the apostles. When the apostle, the original apostles, Paul, when he died, Peter died, John died. When they died, they believed this dunamis died. And something about that just feels squirrely to me anyway. Something about that just don't feel right to me anyway. But this was all part of the perilous time. I'm bringing this in and building this in because I can see how this would make perilous times if we're just encouraged to be a part of a form, part of a system. Come be a part of our church, but you have absolutely no power. You absolutely are going to be set free of nothing. Well, don't that describe? Do you see how that adds to the perilous times? Adds to all that. But that's kind of, I think it's so descriptive. It was so descriptive of my life. I think about my entire life, my religious experience, you know, from a child. You know, I had family. I had some of you, maybe religious leaders, churches that you were involved in or what all, or other religious people that you had respect for or whatever. They would deny this power. Deny, say no, that's not for you, or that's not for this time, or that's not a part of today. Or whatever, ever how you want to bring that in. And all of this come together to make part of the perilous times scenario. And I like what the scripture says right here. It's really instructive. It's really plain. And it says this: from such turn away. From such turn away. Get out of that. Get away from that. Move. Change directions. Move the other way. Amen. From such turn away. Now tonight, all I really want to do tonight, because just kind of the scenario. By the way, I kind of give you a title. Or somewhat a subtitle, then the title, I guess, is I was just wanting to think about, you know, maybe some of y'all tonight, maybe some, you know, you was kind of brung up that way, you kind of learned that way, that we was taught that there was no power, we was taught that there was no move, that there was nothing supernatural. I had no clue till I was 26 years old. I thought it was all system. I thought it was all institution. I thought it was all three songs, few recites, hang in there best you can till 12 o'clock, and let's get it. And whoo! Somehow that was my religious check for 3 or 4 months. You know, and that first Sunday that I traveled with my family to a little Pentecostal Holiness church, were all the things I had been warned about. All the things I'd been told to deny. Because I'd asked a time or two. I'd heard things. It was a little startup church not too far from my house when I was a teenager. It was the old school building. Used to be an old schoolhouse down below my house, not too far. Actually, where my granddaddy went to school on Craig's Creek. It was just a little one-room school building. And there was some spirit-loving people fired up some meetings in that place. And I'd begin to hear things coming out of there. I'd been hearing neighbors talking. I'd hear friends talking about how things was going on in there that I'd never heard tell of in the little place I was at. I'd never heard tell. I said, they really doing some of that? That's really going on. That's right. And then there's where I began to learn about, I didn't even know there was such a thing. I was like one of those Ephesus believers of John the Baptist's in Acts 19, when I not even heard that there is any Holy Ghost. I'd seen it read in Scripture. I'd heard of it read through some of the recitings in church, but as I didn't have no idea that he'd get up and walk amongst us. I didn't have no idea he would get up and stir in our souls. I didn't have no idea that he even convicted. I didn't know he could poke the rooster. Y'all know the Holy Ghost can poke the rooster, don't you? Make him crow right big. I didn't even know that until my little trip to the little PH church, and everything I'd been taught to deny began to come upon me in real time and in real experience and real life. And I got bug-eyed and I got scared. I got nervous. I had crazy thoughts about everybody around me. I thought, man, these people seemed normal before this started. You've been to that church? It seemed normal until all this happened. And then all these normal people, all of a sudden, I'm thinking they are crazy. They are just right out and out gone nuts. And there I am. I'm watching. And ain't nobody paying no attention to me. They ain't nobody seeing me scared at all. And you've heard, I'm not going through all the details, but you've heard, one of the things I remember so vividly is I poked Cindy. I mean, she ain't never. I said, I tell you right now, I get out of here, I ain't never coming back. I'll poke her again. Not ever. And of course, obviously, long story short, man, it got a hold to my spirit. It got a hold to my heart. But I was taught to deny. Many of y'all, maybe some of y'all, you've been taught to deny that. Have you ever thought why? And here's the bad thing. Here's the bad thing is we bought into that with really out any substance other than maybe a respected friend or respected family member or maybe even some respected religious leader told you to deny that. I look back and I think, why did I ever buy that? I didn't really know. Why should I buy into that? I believe most of the those who believe it stop, they bought into it without really knowing. Tonight I want to share with you. I want to share with you some things that go against this because I feel like we've been taught to deny it. I want to tell you a few things that really are some reasons that we should not deny it, but we should pursue it. We should seek it. Reasons that should stir our hearts that we'll turn away from such and turn to. Ain't that what that means? To turn away means we're turning to. Amen. Amen. So tonight, I just kind of want this to be and by the way, man, the Lord has just been, my mind, my heart is just so full of stuff. It is. I've had to really try to pull the reins back. But I just want to kind of make it just kind of a small blueprint on some reasons that we should turn away and turn to, if you will. Teach us really why Scripture, let Scripture teach us why we should really pursue. And one of the big reasons is this, and this is one of the big reasons that this astounds me, that we bought into denying the power. And it's this, it's the New Testament. I want you to just think about this a minute. It's the New Testament, and when I say the New Testament, I mean all of it. Not just bits and pieces, but one of the reasons I still believe in the Holy Ghost, one of the reasons I still believe in His charismata, one of the reasons I still believe in His power, one of the reasons that I went away from that little church that day and began a journey, is the New Testament. Not because of what that man told me that day or even what I experienced. I don't bank everything on experience. Experience is the least. It's the lowest level, in my opinion, in my book, of why I should believe in the Holy Ghost. Although experience is huge, but it's still the lowest. I got to have something that, you know what tops experience? It's God's infallible word. That authenticates everything that man stands on. Experience can be manipulated. Experience can be falsified. Experience can be moved and shaken and orchestrated. But I'm gonna tell you what, God's word cannot. And one of the reasons I still believe in the power, the charismata, the dunamis, is the entire New Testament. I want you to think about this. All of it, because it is so consistent. It is so consistent. It is so positive with the presence throughout the New Testament. The presence of God's Spirit, of His working, the dunamis, the power, the gifts, the charismata. From the beginning of the New Testament, you'll not find but just a few places where there's anything negative ever spoken about His gifts. The negative we hear comes from man. The negative we hear comes from culture or religious or them that have this form. There's no negative in the New Testament other than where Paul comes teaching the Corinthian church, especially a little bit of the Galatian church, but especially the Corinthian church. He comes teaching them a little bit, has to preach, teaching them a little bit about spiritual gift. But it's not the gift that's at fault. Even when he come to the Corinthian church, in 12, 13, verse 4, chapter 14, 12, 13, 14, all three of them. When he come, and even beyond that, more than that, when he come teaching them, it was not the gift that was at fault. It was immature believers. It was believers that had got prideful. Believers that had thought, now we're elitist. This gift has made us better than. It was immature belief. It's not the gift. Even then, Paul don't ditch the gift. Paul don't beat down the gift. Matter of fact, he's still pushing the gift. He only comes and he tries to correct and start pushing some other things to the forefront, like love. He tries to push that to the forefront, to these immature believers, just so the gift's not out of whack. They're not abusing it. How many know tonight, all of our experiences, that when it was the true gift, it wasn't negative. The only thing that's ever made God's gift negative has been immature people. The only bad experience you've ever had with God's gift, it's not been the gift itself. It's not been what God's given in its genuineness or its pureness. It's been somebody was immature, or somebody manipulated it, or somebody abused it. Amen. You've been there. We've all been there. If you've been in a Pentecostal church or in a Pentecostal setting, if you've been a Pentecostal long, you've been around someone that abused it or manipulated it or used it, and you come away from that feeling negative. I'm going to tell you something. That wasn't God's gift. That was a man. That was a man. Even Paul teaches the Thessalonians, one of the most godliest churches you'll ever see. You can read it in his letter. He builds them up and glorifies them. But they had evidently had come away from some spiritual manipulations evidently in their time, because evidently they were feeling like, you know what, we're just going to kind of back off these gifts a little bit. And you know what he taught them? He taught them, quench not the spirit. He told them. He says, quit, don't you do that. You can't back off of that just because man has manipulated, or man has, you can't back off of that gift. He says, quench not the spirit. And then he says this, despise not prophesying. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. He says, despise not. And ain't that what happened? I thought about that. I never had thought about it. God is so good. You know what? When someone has manipulated or abused the gift, or even spoke something in prophecy or whatever that is of their, not God's gift, but of their misuse, I've come away from those times, you know, despising. You ever despised when someone abused a gift? I can remember several times. I had seen man misuse one of God's gifts. I remember he told one lady one time that she was going to die. This guy did. This preacher did. And I was a young Christian. I wish I hadn't been, because I'd have told him to shut his mouth. I would have. Amen. But he told this lady, and man, he had her broken. And it took me 2 months to talk to that woman. Well, she did die, like 20 years later. But that's what I'm talking about. I left her that night despised. You know what? I've wanted to just distance myself a few times from, I understand, from all, I've wanted to quench the spirit. I've wanted to say, no more. Because man abuse. But Paul says, oh, no, don't do that. Don't quench your spirit. Don't quench your spirit. Despise not charismata. But he does say this, the very next verse, verse 20. He said, prove all things. Test it. Test it. And now you see, I know that. And that night, when that would happen, and other times when things just went on, when you just know, you're sitting there and you're like, that ain't God. You ever been sitting in there? That, if you ever been in a Pentecostal circumstance, you know, if this is new to you, believe me, well, if you're around long enough, I pray you're not here, but you'll probably still feel it somewhere. You know, that's not God. They don't even seem like God. And you'll have this urge to come away despising. Oh, no, test it. What's the Bible then? What's it then say? Hold to that which is good and push away. Push away the junk. Amen. Amen. And I feel like a lot of folk who has taught us to deny the power have went through those things where it was abused, it was misused, and they come away disgusted. They come away with a bad taste. But the entirety of the New Testament so speaks in such a positive way. The entirety of it. From Pentecost. Think about it. From Pentecost. The day that Pentecost fell. Throughout then the entirety of the scripture. This was the norm. Not the exception. When you read from Pentecost throughout the New Testament church age believers. That was the norm. It wasn't the exception. It wasn't even a second thought. His spirit, charisma, dunamis. They didn't even think about denying that power. That was what was the part. That was the big chunk. That was the godliness. That was the strength. Amen. And you can tell that by by all the letters, all the writings. You can tell that how Paul wrote to Romans, the Roman church in Romans 12. You can tell he was talking to them about the dunamis, about the charismatic. The Corinthians, you could tell. In the Samaritans in Acts 8, you can tell. The ladies at Caesarea in Acts 10, the church at Antioch, the church at Ephesus in Acts 19, the Thessalonica church that we just talked about, the Galatian church even in chapter 3 and verse 5, when they talked about, you know, you didn't work into this. Now this is by faith. This work of the Spirit is by faith. You know, they'd even kind of got it misaligned, but it's been such a teaching. Such a teaching. And it's beyond the apostles. That's why they don't hold water with me either. People that tell me, I've had smarter men than me. I honestly have. Smarter men than me in theology, smarter men than me. And they go talking that stuff. And I'm saying, that don't even hold water when you tell me it's just for the apostles. Because the Bible's full of people that weren't apostles that his Spirit was poured out on, and they got charismata. They got gifts. Jesus did it himself. And some of them will say, well, you can't count that. That's before this and before that. I don't know why people's got to split this and split that. It's in the Bible. It was New Testament. It was part of that age when Jesus come. Remember, he sent the 70 out and he gave them power. It's the same power. He gave them authority. They so much so that they healed, they cast out, they watched Satan fall. They weren't an apostle. Not all of them. Some of them ended up being. What about the ones in the 120 in the upper room? Yeah, I know 12 of them were apostles, but they were 108 more that spoke in charismata, tongues, gifts, prophecies. 108 more that were not apostles, that flowed in the power of the Holy Ghost, flowed in a great outpouring. Stephen, he was just a deacon, just a lay leader, just a helper, just a server. He's in the church, and the Bible says this about him in Acts 6. He was full of power, full of the Holy Ghost. Philip led one of the greatest revivals in Samaria. On and on and on and on and on and on. See, that's what I'm just trying. I'm just trying to tell you the sum thought of it all is just too much teaching, too much doctrine in the New Testament to just ignore it, to deny it. If we're going to deny the power thereof, we've just denied 3/4 of the New Testament. We have to just start ignoring 3/4 of the New Testament and say, you know what? That was for the apostles' day. Really? I know I ain't educated, but I just don't think God give 3/4 of the New Testament just for that time period. They, matter of fact, they didn't need the instruction as much as we do. We've needed it more. I'm like, man, that don't bite. My second argument. First argument, too much teaching. Too much. You know? And I'm the type of guy, if I find it one time, I struggle with letting it go. You know? I try not to build a doctrine on one word or one verse. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, if one verse convicts the fire out of me, if I find it in the New, Paul said it one time, that's usually good for me. I don't know about y'all. I know people, well, John Calvin said this. Well, I'm glad John, I revere people. C.H. Spurgeon, I revere what C.H. Spurgeon said. I revere what some men nowadays say. But I'm going to tell you what, I really revere what Paul says in that book more than I do any of those other men. That's what I revere. I revere Paul and Peter and Stephen and whoever else is in this book more than I do those other things. So it's too much teaching, too much doctrine. I can't dismiss it. I can't ignore it. It's just too much there. Second reason, second big argument I have, another reason why I cannot die, I've got to turn away from this, it's taught plain in scriptures. Listen to me now. It's taught very plain in scriptures when this should cease. I don't know if you realize that or not. No, it's in there. It's taught very plain when the charismata, when the dunamis, when spiritual gifts should cease. It's very plain in the Bible. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to give it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right smack dab in the middle of the love chapter. Remember, that's really what 12, 13, and 14 was all about. A lot of people think that the 13 is the love chapter, but he's just addressing spiritual troubles in a church that was kind of been misusing and abusing spiritual gifts. That's why the love chapter became what it is. This is not for marriages. This is for spiritual churches. Amen. I know, love never fails. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But where there be prophecies, yeah, there's coming a day, he says, that'll end. Yeah, you ever think about that? See, it's going to cease. Will there be tongues? Yes, all my cessationist friends. It's going to cease. It's coming. When there's this knowledge or supernatural knowledge or the word of faith or whatever, that's going to vanish too. That's leaving as well. Verse 9, because we know in part, right now we prophesy in part, right now. But when that which is perfect, when he that is perfect, when the consummation of this age, when the fulfillment of this age, when Christ comes and the church age comes to an end as we know it, and kingdom age starts, and we begin to reign and live in his sight. When that which is perfect, all that that's been in part is done away with. It ceases. That's when it ceases. It don't cease till. That's plain for me. I know I'm not John Calvin or whatever, but that's so plain for me. If it's teaching me when it shall cease, why should I think it ceased 2,000 years ago? When it's teaching me that it's not going to cease till Jesus Christ comes. That's when it shall happen. I like the way it goes on. We'll finish the reading. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. Yeah, I thought as a child, but I put away child saying, verse 12, for if we see now right now we do, darkly, but when, then, face to face, then we shall know. We're going to really know then, and we shall also be known. But it goes on to chapter 14, just to show you there's a continuation, chapter 14, verse 1. This looks in how it continues. 1 Corinthians chapter. So therefore, we're leaving the love chapter, but he's not leaving it completely. Follow after love. But since it hasn't ceased, desire spiritual gifts. Charismata. Of course, even he stepped it up and really prioritized it. But even rather that you may prophesy. Amen. He really schools us on. He schools us really plain on when that is perfect has come, then that's it. It's kind of the same teaching in Ephesians 4 where it talks about even the gifts that Christ gave the church. You see Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11, he says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the building up of the body of the saint, for the work of the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to this unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto this perfect man, to the stature, the fullness of Christ. Same, it's the same teaching. another realm of gift. That's when this will be done away. You know when we're not going to need pastors and evangelists and teachers and prophets anymore? When Christ comes. Same time we're not going to need charismata anymore. Does that make sense to anybody in this church house except me? And it's just the truth. Amen. It's kind of like this. You know what? It's kind of the point that, man, there's kind of the absence of any other idea of when it should say. Wouldn't it be teaching? See, I want to tell you this. You're not going to find anything in the scripture. I've read, I've studied. This is one subject that and like I said, I don't know. The more I study this, the less I know. That's what I can tell you. The more you study about the Spirit, the less you'll know. If you think you know it all about the Spirit tonight, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. Nothing. It's so deep. But here's what I do know. Well, you can study the New Testament over and over and over again. You can study things in the Old Testament. And you're not going to find anything even close to Him, God saying that at the end of the apostles, it's going to end. It's not even nowhere close. There's nothing, no idea of that. There's no leaning to it. I don't even know where it comes from. I know learned and very learned men, like I said, that are deep in some doctrines and that I even have learned from on like repentance and things like that. I'm like, wow, that's good. But you get to this subject and I'm like, where in the junk do you get the idea that it's supposed to die with the apostles? What scripture? And nobody's ever got a scripture. But it has ceased. It ended. It's not for our day. I'll tell you where the scripture is. It's here. Come have part in this system. Have part of the form. But we're going to deny this power. That's the scripture. From such, turn away. Get out of that. Amen. Now I know. It's a lot of fruitcakes, a lot of stuff went on. There's people's, but you can't leave it. You cannot. Amen. At all. Amen. So there's no teaching but the what I've showed you that tells us when it's going to end. No other place. If it's ceased in our churches, it's because of man. That's it. God's arm's not short. His Spirit's not without, it's without measure. Anything you read about His Spirit, it's an abundant overflowing. So if it's ceased in our churches, it's man's fault some way, shape, or another. Whether it's this doctrine, or whether it's our life, our sin, whatever it is, our unbelief, our doubt, God's Spirit is still powerful. And just because we see an absence of it doesn't mean it's not for today. Amen. Amen. I'm a little passionate about this. Amen. I got to finish too, and I've got no time to finish. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. I got to throw this in, and I'm going to let you be. And I'm not going to get all my points. I had 7. But this is a big point I'll let you go home on. Think about the purpose of it. That's a big reason for me. Because Paul's very detailed in teaching about really the purpose of it. See, if it wasn't a purpose in it, I might could lean. If I thought it was just to for man to boast over, or to fluff up over, or to puff up about, or to brag about, or to be outgoing with, I could say, you know what? Yeah, we don't need that. But Paul doesn't teach any of that. Matter of fact, he preaches against that. And he gives us a very strong purpose for it. There's several, but I'm going to give you one for sure here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, We'll start with verse 1 and read through verse 7, and then I'm going to try to let you be. Now, concerning spiritual gifts of the charismatic, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant or unknown. You know that you were Gentiles carried away even with dumb. Remember how dumb you were? Come on. Come on. How you were led. Remember, you've been dumb before. All right. Come on. Don't get mad at me. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit, this is how important it is, of God called Jesus a curse, so that no man can even say that Jesus is the Lord except by this power. It's the only way we can even be saved. It's the only way. But that's not the main point even, although that's a big one. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. We know that. There is. And this, boy, like I said, man, I got so much on my heart. I can't wait. But there's all these diversity, but it's the same Spirit. Same Spirit. Same Spirit. There are differences even in administration, but the same Lord. Listen, these are diversities of operation. There's many operations. It's just opening it wide open. I know. Our world's hung up on tongues. I know they are. That's what makes everybody nervous. Everybody that asks me, that don't know me, ask me what I belong to, and I tell them Pentecostal. That's the first thing they want to know. You speak in tongues? I don't know why everybody's hung up on that. Why are they hung up on that? That's even the least, according to Paul. Why are we hung up on that? Why is the world hung up? Why are they nervous? See, I'm studying on that too. I'm studying on why this world is so nervous about this. They are. They're nervous. Why was I terrified? Why did I think, my Lord, why? You know, but it's all these operations, but it's God working. I said, it's God working. It's Him working in all. But this is it. The manifestation of the Spirit, listen, is given to every man, every believer. It is. Every believer is supposed to have some manifestation. Some manifestation. I know we've been talked to and preached to about you should have this and you should have this and you should. Oh no. God's word says the Spirit's been given. A manifestation has been given to. That's the only thing it really says it directly. A manifestation has been given to every man. But now listen, here's the big part, and I got to close. What for? To profit all. To profit all. Profit everyone. There's a common good Paul's looking for. It's the purpose. I fully believe it. That's why God filled me full of charismata. Do I have all of the gifts? Absolutely not. Another message, another time. But what He has given me, the charismata, the manifestation, the operation He had, it was for one reason, to profit. In the feeblest way that I can, I try because of the charismata. Because of what it's up, what it's working, what it's doing. Now here's my point to all this. That's what Paul says. That's really one of the major reasons that the manifestation of charismata comes, is so it'll profit the church, other believers, the body. Well, here's what I know. I just don't believe we as a body, we as a church, we as believers in this day have progressed or matured to the point that we don't need it. I can't buy that. We've not progressed beyond the need of the spiritual. Matter of fact, I would suggest that's probably we have digressed to the point that's why we're so desperate. Because of the lack of the charismata. The lack of the dunamis, the lack of the power. Amen. We're not beyond the need of edification. Did any of y'all come in here tonight needing strengthening? Did any of y'all come in here tonight needing building up? Did any of y'all come in here tonight weak at something? Did anybody come in here needing the Spirit to move and to strengthen you? Or maybe needing a brother. Maybe tonight it was the preacher. He's got to bring charismata to strengthen. Amen. Ain't it, ain't it amazing sometimes? How you, and you know this, you come in here drug out, drained out, and God will move in some way. Maybe it's Paul, maybe it's a singer, maybe it's a word, maybe it's a tongues, maybe it's some other, whatever the manifestation. But man, it hits your soul and it edifies. I thought about Brother Marks that Sunday. He was ministering. He was building up. He was edifying that Sunday. He was speaking words to people right into their heart, building up. It's a gift. I'm not so good with that sometimes. But that's what he was operating in that Sunday. Or sometimes somebody will say something in church or whatever. It's a gift. Discernment's a gift. All these things, I'm convinced a lot of those that think it's ceased, they operate in them, they just don't want to recognize it. A lot of them act like that ceased, well, they're discerning or they're caring or they're compassionate. I'm like, it ain't ceased, I see it operating in you. Well, that ain't what I'm talking about. Well, that's what Paul was talking about. You just want to cut the tongue out. So worried about the tongue. It's a problem. It is. I don't know why. Tongue don't scare me. Not anymore. Amen. And of course, we know that and we ain't got time because I'm out of time. Good day. You should have known better to come on a Sunday. After a Sunday, I ain't got to preach. But we know it promotes the gospel, man. The Spirit moving. Come on, Paul, get yourself up here. So I'll shut up. Get up here and operate in some gift. But it promotes. It's the whole purpose, man. The whole purpose. So tonight I didn't get to go through all of the stuff and get to where I wanted to go and the build up, if you will. But the whole point is tonight is man, we should open up our lives and pursue the Spirit. Not deny. We need to forget all that we've been taught about, because I believe that. I believe a lot of our age we've been taught to deny that. Just quick hand. How many in here tonight, maybe culture, family, some religious leader, someone taught you need to deny that. Show your hand. Look at that. Look at that. You don't need that. You need to deny that. That's not real. Everybody told me that wasn't real. They didn't know that wasn't real. I got so hungry. I got saved, and I wanted to be saved for real. And I become a Berean, and I got in that book. And I've had to prove some things. What Paul said, I proved some things. Now, I proved some nutty stuff not true, too. Come on. I have. I'm not going to lie. I have proved some nutty stuff to be. That's just wrong, man. That's just wrong. It's just wrong. I was at a service one night. I've told Whitlock this. I was at a service one night, and this preacher, I don't know, man. He done pretty good, but I could tell he was squirrel. You ever just get that weird willy feeling? I'm like, but he would say some good stuff. But then he kept feeling about. He kept having these Lord leadings to take up offering. I'm not against taking up offerings. I'm fine with that. Take up offering, whatever. But man, he lost me. I don't even know what all was said. But he had his wife take off her shoes, and they took up the offering in her shoes. Ever been to one of them kind of services? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yeah, Donnie, that's the look I had on my face. Donnie, that's the same look I had that night. I didn't even get my billfold out. I didn't. And I said, and I'm still pretty young in the Lord, but I knew that wasn't in the Bible. And I said, I'm not feeling God in this. And there's a thousand other things. And you know I'm telling the truth. There's a thousand other things. But here's it. Man, prove those things that are true. And everything that's in this book, I've proved it to be true. Not that I've operated or experienced it all, but I've proved it to be true by that word. And tonight, all I challenge you to do, turn away. Tonight, turn away from denying the power. That's the heart of it. Turn away. Don't deny the power no more. And how do you not deny it? You pursue, like Paul said in 14:1. You pursue charismatic. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. You're not going to open. I heard somebody tell me this one time. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to open myself up to a seductive spirit. A Satan. A spirit of Satan. I said, that's crazy. I said, I ain't never heard of anybody seeking God and his gifts find Satan. What you'll find is blessing. You'll find blessing, not Satan. Now you keep denying the power, you might find Satan. Come on. Let's see. Come on. I got to shut up. I'm so full. From such, turn away.